Jashodanandana Brajajanaranjana Jashodanandana Brajajanaranjana Jamuna Tirabono Chari Jamuna Tirabono Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari
Jayong Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribrajakacharya Ashtuttara Shatu Shri Srimad अभय चरणार बिंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जाय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जाय श्री श्री गौर निताय की जाय श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा महारानी की जाय श्री श्री रुक्मिणी द्वारकाधीश की जाय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जाय समवेत भक्त वृंद की जाय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Deshatarine Which one is today's verse? 13th or 14th? 13th. Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, chapter 28, Kapila's instructions on devotional service, text 13. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudiraye Nashta Praeshu Abhadreshu Nittang Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaye. Prasanya Badanam Bhojam Padma Garbharunekshanam Garbharunekshanam Nilotpala Dala Shyamam Sankha Chakra
गदा धरम प्रसन्न्य वदनाम भोजम पद्मगर्भारुणेक्षणम् नीलोत्पल दल श्यामम् शंख चक्र गदाधरम् प्रसन्न्य वदनाम् भोजम् पद्मगर्भारुणेक्षणम् नीलोत्पलो दल श्यामं शंख चक्र गदाधरम् प्रसन्न वदनाम् भोजम् पद्मगर्भारुणेक्षणम् नीलोत्पलो दल श्यामं शंख चक्र गदाधरम् प्रसन्न वदनाम् भोजम् पद्मगर्भारुणेक्षणम् नीलोत्पलो दल श्यामम् शंख चक्र गदाधरम् नीलोत्पल दल श्याम शंख चक्र प्रसन्न वदनाम् भोजम् पद्मगर्भारुणेक्षणम् नीलोत्पल दल श्याम शंख चक्र
Mataji's.
Thank you.
प्रसन्न चीयरफुल बदना काउंटेनेंस अम्भोजम लोटस लाइक पद्मगर्भ द इंटीरियर ऑफ अ लोटस अरुणा राडी इक्षणम विथ आईज नील उत्पल ब्लू लोटस दल पेटल्स श्यामम स्वर्दी शंख कॉन्च चक्र डिस्कस गदा क्लब धरम बेयरिंग Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has a cheerful, lotus-like countenance with ruddy eyes like the interior of a lotus and a swarthy body like the petals of a blue lotus. He bears a conch, discus and mess in three of his hands. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is definitely recommended herein that one concentrate his mind upon the form of Vishnu. There are 12 different forms of Vishnu which are described in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. One cannot concentrate his mind on anything void or impersonal. The mind should be fixed on the personal form of the Lord, whose attitude is cheerful, as described in this verse. Bhagavad Gita states that meditation on the impersonal or void features is very troublesome to the meditator. Those who are attached to the impersonal or void features of meditation have to undergo a difficult process because we are not accustomed to concentrating our minds upon anything impersonal. Actually, such concentration is not even possible. Bhagavad Gita also confirms that one should concentrate his mind on the personality of Godhead. The color of the personality of Godhead, Krishna, is described here as nilotpalodala, meaning that it is like that of a lotus flower with petals tinted blue and white. People always ask why Krishna is blue. The color of the Lord has not been imagined by an artist. It is described in the authoritative scriptures. In the Brahma Samhita also, the color of Krishna's body is compared to that of a bluish cloud. The color of the Lord is not a poetical imagination. There are authoritative descriptions in the Brahma Samhita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and many of the Puranas of the Lord's body, his weapons, and all other paraphernalia. The Lord's appearance is described here as Padma Garbha Runekshanam. His eyes resemble the inside of a lotus flower, and in his four hands he holds the four symbols, conch shell, discus, mess, and lotus. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam rupa kadamaiham dadati swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padukamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupang Sagrajatang Sahagana Raghunathanvitang Twang Sajivam Sadvaitang Savadhutang Parijana Sahitang Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Nitangscha হে কৃষ্ণ করুণা সিন্ধ দীনবন্ধ জগৎপতে গোপেশ গোপিকা কান্ত রাধা কান্ত নমস্তুতে তপ্ত কাঞ্চন গৌরাঙ্গী রাধে বৃন্দাবনেশ্বরী বৃষভানুসুতে দেবী প্রণমামি হরিপ্রিয়ে বাঞ্ছাকল্পতরুভ্যশ্চ কৃপাসিন্ধুভ্যেব চ পতিতানাং পাবনেভ্যো বৈষ্ণবেভ্যো নমো নমঃ। শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শ্রীবাসাদি গৌরভক্তবৃন্দ, হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে হরে। প্রসন্ন বদনাম্ভোজং পদ্মগর্ভারুণেক্ষণম নীলোৎপলদল শ্যামং শঙ্খচক্র গদাধরম। দ্য সুপ্রিম পার্সোনালিটি অফ গডহেড হ্যাজ এ চিয়ারফুল লোটাস লাইক কাউন্টেনেন্স উইথ রাডি আইজ লাইক দ্য ইন্টেরিয়র অফ এ লোটাস অ্যান্ড এ সোয়ার্দি বডি লাইক এ পেটলস অফ এ ব্লু লোটাস। হি বেয়ার্স এ কঞ্চ ডিসকাস অ্যান্ড মেস ইন থ্রি অফ হিজ হ্যান্ডস। সো Kapil Dev, one of the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is instructing his own mother about the ultimate goal of life. His father, Kardama Muni, already left home, and now he is about to leave home, leaving his mother behind. And his mother also was not an ordinary person. She was the daughter of the Sayambhuva Manu, one of Brahma's sons is Manu, Sayambhuva Manu. Brahma's name, since Brahma is self-manifested, he is known as Swayambhu. Swayam means himself, and Bhu means became. He became, that is, he is born not from any father and mother, but he came directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, Brahma's name is Swayambhu, and Brahma's son is Swayambhuva Manu. And this Manu is actually the forefather of mankind. From Manu, the word Manava has come. Manu's offsprings are known as Manava. Just as Danu's offsprings are known as Danavas. So in this way, in Sanskrit, according to the parents' name, the children get their identity or their names. Like we know, Diti's sons became known as Daityas. Aditi's sons became known as Adityas. Danu's offsprings became known as Danavas. Similarly, Pandu's children became known as Pandavas. So Sanskrit language is very structured, very precisely structured. That way, from the name itself, one can get to know from in which family or of which parentage one is born. Like Kunti's son has been identified as Kauntheya. And Dhritarashtra's offsprings became known as Dhartarashtra. And similarly, the names also indicate the characteristic of a person. Yudhishthir. Yudhi means the battle. And sthir means unperturbed. Yudhishthir Maharaj has this name Yudhishthir because that's his character. He is so composed, he is so self-contained that he is not even perturbed even in the middle of a battlefield. Yudhishthir. Dhritarashtra. Dhrita means holding and Rashtra means kingdom. Although he is unqualified, he is trying to hold on to his kingdom. Dhritarashtra. So in this way, from the names we can understand the characteristics of the personality. Just as from the name itself we can understand the characteristics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna, all attractive. Karshati iti Krishna. Ramati iti Rama. Narayan. Nara, all the living entities. Ayanam. One who is the shelter and sustainer of all living entities. That is Narayan. So in this way, from the name we can recognize the identity of the personality. And that is the real civilization. Real civilization is that everything becomes meaningful. Not just whimsical. Like, not whimsical blabbering. Like children blabber, right? But a grown-up doesn't blabber, right? When a children blabber, we tolerate that. But when a grown-up blabbers, then that becomes embarrassing. So everything must be meaningful. That is the sign of civilization. And when you go into the Vedic culture, then we can see how everything is meaningful. Nothing is without any relevance. Or everything has a very deep and profound connotation and meaning. Everything. And that is what actually makes a language poetic. And the Sanskrit language is extremely poetic language. Like you can see, like everything is written in poetry. Poetry means meter and rhyme. Dravida Prabhu? Not anymore, at least. Because people lost their profundity. Now mind you, in the spiritual sky, every word is a poetry and every movement is dance. Every word is a music. And here we can see what a beautiful description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And like Brahma, also when you see Brahma Samhita and other such scriptures, then we can see Barhavatam Samasitam Buddha Sundarangam Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Bhagavad Gita. It's the whole thing is poetry. Krishna is speaking, but what he's speaking is poetry, music, song. Prasanna vadanam bhojam padma garbha runekshanam nilat paladala shyamam sankha chakra gadadharam. Of course, when Kapil Muni said these words, he didn't speak like that. He sang it. So this is how the scriptures, the informations about the spiritual reality is normally presented. the very profound feelings which makes the presentation very, very beautiful, very poetic. In that respect, we can consider Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He was such a brilliant poet. Like, to write poetry is not easy. Not only one must have a very, very wonderful command over the language to write, but he must actually dwell in the words in order to express it in that way. And the language itself, it thinks in that language in that way that it comes out in the form of poetry. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when we consider, like, he wrote in Bengali, which is his mother tongue, English, which was the language of that time in British India, and Sanskrit, with equal poetic expertise and dexterity. Like, we know many of his Bengali songs, they are so beautiful. Like, Udiloy Oruna Purabu Bhage, Dijamoni Gora Amoni Jage, Bhakato Shomuho Loiya Shathe, Gyala Nagaro Broje, Tathoi Tathoi Bajalo Khol, Ghano Ghano Tahe Jhajero Rol, Preme Dhalo Dhalo Shonaro Yango, Charune Nupuro Baje. What a beautiful, although you can't understand the meaning of the word, the language, but at least you can see the sound. Like the rhythm and the meter. And his Sanskrit poetry, Yadite Haripada Saroj Sudha Rasapana Param Hridayam Satatam Paririta Griham Kalibhava Mayam Bhajagodruma Kanana Kunja Vidhum. And his English also, alas for those who spend their days in festive mirth and joy, the dazzling deadly liquid forms their hearts forever employ. Not many English poets also use such strict adherence to meter and rhyme. English poetry has become more like a free kind of expression of feelings. But poetry must be following a strict concern for rhyme and meter. And we find that in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's English poetry. Not many English poets actually have such brilliant concept of rhyme. I don't know about American poets, but among English poets, English poets, they did not really adhere so much to, excepting few. Coleridge is famous for that, as rhyming. Wordsworth also to some extent, but not many others. Byron, Keats, Shelley to some extent also. But Coleridge was very famous for his rhyming. The day was bare, the harbor clear, the merrily did we drop, below the hill, below the kirk, below the lighthouse top. This is poetry. Not my heart aches and a drowsy numbness pains my senses as the hemlock I had drunk. And also you can see Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, what a profound expressions. Forget the past that sleeps, nor future dream at all. Live with the time that are with thee, and progress thee shall call. The shining bottles charm their eyes and draw their hearts' embrace. The slaves of wine can never rise from what we call disgrace. So only a devotee can write like that, because he is not really just combining few words, getting the words from the rhyming dictionary. He actually expresses his deepest feelings that springs forth from the depth of his heart. And that is, especially a devotee is in perfect communion with the spiritual sky. And that's why the words spring forth in such beautiful expressions. So, Devahuti, Kapil Muni's mother, was the daughter of Sayambhuva Manu. Now, Manu actually is, in a way you can say, the Manu is the ruler of the universe. Like Brahma, of course, is the controller. But Manu is a personality who comes. There are 14 Manus in a day of Brahma. And they come, and they kind of, they are like, they come with their entire entourage. And they rule over this region of the universe, and then including the heavenly planets. And then when they go, the entire entourage, the whole thing, the shift changes actually. Then another Manu comes. And the reign of a Manu is called Manvantar. And in a Manvantar, there are different sets of incarnations of the Lord. There are different Indras, different personalities take the position of Indra and different demigods. Like it's something like in a factory, you get a shift, right? And what do you call it? Who is the in charge of the shift? The foreman? Or whatever it is. I mean, the head of the shift. Like, he takes care of the entire responsibility of the shift. And then the shift is over, he leaves, and another person comes with his entourage, with his associates, with his group of individuals to take care. So we can see what a exalted personality Manu was. He is not just a king. He was not even the king of the heavens. His position was much superior to the king of heaven. Like during his time, somebody becomes Indra. So he is even superior in his position than that of Indra. Like we know that in next Manvantar, this is the seventh Manu's reign, known as Vaivashvata Manu, the son of Vivashvan, sun god, is Vaivashvata Manu. And Vaivashvata Manu's reign, Manvantar, is going on now. And in the next Manvantar, who will become, do you know who will become Indra? Bali Maharaj will become Indra in next Manvantar. So it's all predestined. Everything has been organized. So this is how the universal affair is taken care of by the divine arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his followers. So Vaivashvata Manu's daughter was Devahuti. And Manu, when he was considering who he should offer his daughter to in marriage, it was decided that he would offer, actually Brahma instructed him to offer his daughter Devahuti to Kardama Muni, a sage who lives in the forest, doesn't even have a place to live. And the family structure was so beautifully defined that when the father decided that the daughter, the princess, should get married to a mendicant living in a forest, she did not protest. She just went with her father. Father took her to the forest and offered her to Kardama Muni. And she was such a chaste lady that although she was a princess, but she did not deviate from her duty as a wife. Wife of a person who did not have any external consciousness, so to say. He did not have any awareness. He was so absorbed in his meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead that for a long, long time he did not really care about the condition of his wife. So that is the real human culture. One is just, one adheres to one's duty. Knowing well that by performing one's duty, one will not only become happy in this life, but one will become also happy in his or her next life. And then in the meantime, she, the princess, naturally in this hardship of living in a forest and going through so many difficulties, practically no food to eat. Just picking some fruits from the trees and some berries and some roots. No proper arrangements for cooking. Like we can see how difficult it must have been for her, but she never complained. Or she did not apply for a divorce. That look at my husband, doesn't take care of me. I'm quitting. No. She just adhered to her duty. But then one day Kardama Muni noticed her condition. She became emaciated. There were rings around her eyes. Her hair became matted. And he felt deep pity for her, compassion for her. That she's a princess and look what I have done to her. Because of me, she is undergoing so much difficulties. So he decided to give her a good time. And so here is the power of the person, such a personality. What he did, he created a planet. He created a planet and filled with all kinds of attendants and with all kinds of luxury and comforts. And with that planet, he took her on a joyride around the universe. So these are the personalities from the Vedic time. When human civilization follows the Vedic culture, that is how powerful an individual can become. He attains such mystic power that he can create his own universe. He can create his own planet. And in his will, according to his will, the planet can move all throughout the universe. And then he gave her some offsprings. And the youngest of them was Kapila, Kapil Muni. How many daughters did he have? Nine daughters and one son, Kapil Muni. And Kapil Muni also, and because both the father and mother were so pure, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as their child, Kapil Muni. Empowered incarnation. And now Kapil Muni is about to leave his mother and leave home. And Kapil Muni decided to instruct his mother on this process of meditation, dhyana. The dhyana, or process of meditation, has 8 different stages known as Ashtanga Yoga. The 8 stages ultimately leads to samadhi or perception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here he is speaking about the perception of the Lord in the heart. One projects his purified consciousness into the core of his heart, and as a result of that, at the core of his heart, he perceives the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nilotpala dala shyamam prasanna badanam bhojam. So that personality of Godhead is not a matter of imagination. He is real. He is there, and when one acquires proper senses to perceive, then he can see him face to face. And that personality is actually situated in everyone's heart. He is situated in everyone's heart. And that Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in everyone's heart, just waiting for the living entities to turn towards him. Although Krishna has been described as the super soul, has been described that he is upadrashta and anumanta, he is the witness and he gives the approval or he sanctions our desires. But that is not the real purpose of the Lord's dwelling in our hearts. The real purpose of the Lord's dwelling in our heart is simply for the sake of taking us back to the spiritual sky, back to his own abode. Our condition is like a bunch of children. We are playing. We want to play like the father takes the child to the field, to the park, and the child is playing, and the father is sitting on a bench. The child has completely forgotten about the father. He is so absorbed in his play games with his friends that he has completely forgotten his father. But the father is sitting there on the bench, waiting when the son will stop his play and turn towards him, and then he'll take him home. And when it becomes dark, everyone leaves, then all of a sudden the son realizes, oh, what shall I do now? And he becomes afraid and he calls out, Daddy, Daddy. Then the father comes and picks him up. So Krishna is just waiting for us to stop our play, our games in this material nature, and turn towards him and call out to him with all the love of our heart, with all sincerity, Krishna, Krishna, where are you? And then Krishna will come and pick us up. And that's why he came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although we have forgotten him, he has come. He has given us a very simple process of just chanting. That is, just stop our childish game and just turn towards him, call out to him with all sincerity. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. O all attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead, please deliver me from this miserable material existence and allow me to become engaged in your loving devotional service. then Krishna will come and pick us up. All he wants is that we call out to him with all sincerity. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes, Dravida Prabhu.
Actual games. In other words, game within a game. Just like we have a movie, this whole material was like a movie, but we have a movie within a movie. So, yesterday I had lunch with you and you mentioned how you're going to try to create some Krishna conscious video games, right? Which is pretty exciting. So the question is, because that speaks to a kind of a phenomenon that is universal in Krishna consciousness, and that is what we call dovetailing. And, of course, the basic principle is yukta vairagya, is that we should be detached from whatever we have, whether we have $1 million or 2 cents, it's for Krishna. But there's a phenomenon where, for instance, in games, I'm sure it'll be very exciting if you make some nice professional video games or computer games. But then the other way it goes is that you get into the games, or you get into, say, making money for Krishna, okay, collecting money so we can build temples and support and everything. But at the same time, it goes the other way. In other words, you start out from nothing, and then you're able to dovetail, you have an idea, you collect some money, but then you may go into the modes, and that very facility that you have, you start to again use on the material side. So how do we avoid that tendency to fall back and use the facility that Krishna has given us again for the material side? That seems to be a phenomenon that we see sometimes.
Okay, taking that analogy of the game, the child is playing the game and the father is waiting by the side of the park sitting on a bench, the child is playing. And generally, the possibility is that when it gets dark, the child will become afraid and call out to the father. But if the child is completely spoiled, then even at night, when it becomes night, he doesn't think of the father, but, starts to look for a nightclub. So, but the father made a condition that he is not going to force his son back home. He wants the son to decide when he wants to get back to the, call him and ask for his help. Now then, you see, the good children, what they do, they, in order to not to forget the father, even when they go to the field to play, they devise some games with the father in the center, right? So that they don't forget the father. So that there is no room for forgetting the father, right? And naturally, when the dark night comes and says the game is over, then he will naturally depend on the father. But while playing that game, therefore, one must be very, very concerned that while playing the game, we don't forget the father, right? Because while we are playing a game with father in the center, but if we forget the father, then we are in real trouble. Does it answer your question? Dravida Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
I thought I wanted to be here. Thank you.